Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country as BB and Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and talk to all our beautiful traditional and across the beautiful country. I was welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, your mob. All he is here. And I'd like to give a big shout out to First Nation radio station across this beautiful country of ours, our Deadly Black Network, and like I said, voice for our people, all our deadly yarns, all our deadly stories, our music, our artists, are not on mainstream. So it's good to have the First Nation radio station and the media network that we do have. But stay tuned, we'll have some deadly yarns coming up very soon. Let's open up the program with our Aboriginal Justice radio mix, the PI Boys, Aboriginal Justice. Take a listen.
Let's go. Well, it's the PR boy from Palm Island, kicking back with another track like a boogeyman siren. The core's still lying, my people still dying.
Get your heads up, brother, PR boys are arriving.
Well, it's the PR boy from Palm Island, kicking back with another track like the boogeyman siren. The core's still lying, my people still dying.
Get your heads up, brother, PR boys are arriving.
Brother Murray, and I'm taking it back to the days when they never even heard a rap. Think back to the time of the great kidnap. Cause this the next level and we're ready to react.
Yo, back in the day, this was paradise. We were living off rations like a bag of rice. We never got paid, but we paid the price. My culture faded away like day to night. But we stayed alive and we're still right here. We're the Boogerman tribe and it's the end of your career. No fear, because we're ready to drop. It's the boys from Palm Island with the head of hip hop.
Listen up, everybody, they call me Patch. You hear me ripping up a city and I'm letting the scratch. It's true what they say, yeah, the boys are back. Get up off your chair, get ready to clap.
Another track like a boogeyman siren. The core's still lying, my people still dying.
Get your heads up, brother, PR boys are arriving.
Well, it's the PR boys from Palm Island, kicking back with another track like a boogeyman siren. The core's still lying, my people still dying. PR boys are arriving. Cause the pub closed down and they smuggled a grub. And it's alcohol that troubles them all. Rolling on the streets so they double the cost. Who else is gonna rap if we decide to stop?
Straight to the top, now nothing has changed. From Dr. Point all the way back to Coos Lane. Since my great-grandfather was brought here and chained. Yeah, I'm writing this rap so you remember his name.
This is for my brother that was taken away from his family, I wish he was...
Yeah, beautiful track, Aboriginal Justice Radio Mix here, the PI Boys. Big shout-out, Palm Island, hope you're well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Number you need to call, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BB and Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. So give us a call, have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Now, Aboriginal artist Alan McKenzie paints coffins using vibrant dot painting techniques. It is often you see beloved friends and family buried in a flurry of colour. And so looking at this opportunity as a business opportunity, but also a connection for mob. We're going to catch up a yarn with Alan on the line. Alan, good morning, brother. How are you?
Yeah, good, brother. Yama to yous all out there. Thanks for having me on, eh?
Yeah, now too, Deli. Yama, back to you too, my brother. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
No, I'm a Gamilaroi Wiradjuri man. I come from a town called Griffith, New South Wales. So I've been doing my artwork for the last nearly 25 years and stuff like that. So,
yes.
Yeah, brother.
Fantastic, brother. Now, we're talking about painting coffins, vibrant dot painting techniques. We are strong with our culture, and we all have to leave Mother Earth. And when we do, why not leave with your culture embedded in you, you could say, brother?
100%, brother. You know, like, this is something that I've always stayed away from. A lot of people look at it as an eerie thing, you know?
Yes.
But, you know, like... I've really done a lot of reflecting in the last couple of months and stuff like that, and I've seen a lot of our elders and our people pass away, you know, and I get asked this question all the time, would you paint my mum's coffin? Would you paint my dad's coffin? And it's that, and happening so much. And, you know, like when we look statistically among Australia, how many of our people are dying compared to non-Aboriginal First Nation people, I thought to myself, you know what, it's time for us to stand up now and, you know, our people, even other artists, and showcase the beauty of our people's culture, even in the afterlife when our people go to the dream time. So for me, I had one of my best mates, his son's passed away at the age of 30.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really hit him really hard. And I thought, there's no better gift that I could give him at that time to help comfort him. So I painted his son's casket.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put it on social media and showcase it or anything.
It was a private thing.
It was a private thing, but at the end of the day, he said to me, brother, you need to showcase this to our mob, so the rest of our mob and other brothers and sisters out there that are artists can come out and do what you're doing. So, yeah.
Well, brother, if you look at it, this day and age in 21st century, we're talking about, you know, black and white. Like I said, we all got to go and meet our maker. But when you look at, you look at, for example, NRL, there are like Rabbit and Broncos coffins out there for the diehard fans, you know? So if we're talking culture, if we're talking totems, if we're talking our mob, our clan group, here's a fantastic opportunity to take it with you, so to speak.
100%. I think what we've got to do as people is look how, you know, who controls and disseminates what our artwork is going to go onto. I mean, when I say it like that, I mean, like, whether it's an original piece or it's vinyl wrapped and stuff like that, our people have been exploited for a long time with our artworks, with prints and art galleries and stuff like that.
Mm.
My father was a victim many years ago of selling artwork for next to nothing, and all these people that owned art galleries and stuff like that ended up living in mansions, man, and gone are those days. And that's why I love social media so much, and I say to anyone, don't go and sell your stuff to shops anymore. Sell it online. Trade online.
Yeah.
And sell direct. That's what our people need, you know. Like, they need that, you know, that to be instilled in them, to have faith in the fact that they don't have to go to people and be vulnerable and sell something for next to nothing, you know. And I think when it comes to doing this, it's more of a personalised thing.
Yes.
But I think our artists and people should look at different formats to take on commissioned artworks of cars that need them, or either vinyl wrap them through companies that aren't going to rip us off or rip our pop off or stuff like that.
Exactly.
You know? So,
well, when you look at death, like I said, we put a brother or a sister to rest. Yeah, we may put our football in, or we may put a football jersey in, you know, or something to that effect. We give something that's connected to that person. So if we're talking totem, if we're talking culture, we're talking our ancestors' spiritual connection, it helps with that journey, you could say, in the spiritual sense.
100%, brother. Like, when I painted my first casket, I'm going to tell you now, like, I was sitting in a morgue, and I was watching people's bodies being wheeled in, and I've never been confronted like so many things like that. But to be really honest, I didn't know how to take it at first. I was a little bit unnerved and stuff like that. But I was literally painting it out of a garage in McLean, up in towards Tweed Heads, when I'd done this piece, and the funeral directors were just unbelievable, amazing people.
And in awe of your work.
Yeah, in awe of my work. But then it was just, I can't explain it, man. Like, it was a very powerful thing. I had a moment where, you know, like, I reflected on a lot of things that I've done in my life and thought, you know, that I'm giving someone a gift, as in to go and rest and tell their story about their time on this side of the realm that we all exist in, and to go to the other side with all our ancestors and all our mob on the other side. And, you know, it was a really powerful thing for me to do. You know, I'll be honest, I felt really good after I did it.
Yeah, so, good on you.
You know, brother.
Look, fantastic. So it's a business that you operate in. So do you only do coffins in your area, or do you travel? But the other thing I'm picking up here, Brother Alan, you're promoting to all our Indigenous artists. Here's an opportunity for connection for family when they lose loved ones.
Brother, you know what? When it comes to me doing what I do, I always do what other people won't do.
Sure.
And that's what I pride myself on.
Well, that's an entrepreneur. That's a business person too.
Brother, and you want to know something? I've worked with some of the best entrepreneurs on the face of Australia.
Yes.
And I met this brother boy up on the Gold Coast years ago, and we were telemarketers. And he said to me, he said, brother, the only people that succeed in life are the people willing to do things that no others will.
Different, that's right, exactly.
And I've always lived by that. And when it comes to my artwork, creative spaces, formatting my artwork to go on certain things and in certain places, I always do what hasn't been done. So I always look for those opportunities. And that's a part of our people's way of life. Going out hunting on country, innovative ways to make boomerangs, all these different things. Yeah. So that still exists in our people, and we've got to carry that with us. And for me, you know, I felt honoured to be able to open the door for our other brothers and sisters. You know, I'm not making out like I'm some kind of claimer that, you know, goes, I'm the first person to paint a coffin. I know other people that have painted caskets for their parents and stuff like that, but they just haven't.
But there's an avenue, there's an opportunity there, business opportunity, but also touching people's lives in regard to, the condolences, the situation they're sitting in.
I think the most powerful thing for me, brother, I'll step back and I've got a quote. Substantial amount of people that follow me on social media, but I think for me, the overwhelming response of messages that have come through from people just requesting to have a casket or a coffin painted, and their loved ones haven't even passed away and they've got terminal illnesses, and it's a hard thing for me to fathom because I've got a lot of things going on at the moment with works and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then I thought to myself, I can't believe, and it's a beautiful thing, and I want to come out and do a story about this in another time, but I've got a lot of white fellows wanting to, you know, rep our artwork, and that have got a strong, deep connection and respect to our blob. You know, like I've said, I've had that many white fellas ask me, Alan, is it also available for non-Aboriginal people to have this on, you know, on their coffins? And I've said, absolutely. I'm not going to deny anyone. I wouldn't care what country you're from. I'm not going to deny anyone. For feeling a connection to our culture and our people, because that's the way our people are.
Well, exactly. And if you look at it, Alan, so many of our mob, we've got a non-Indigenous brother and sister who is part of our clan, so to speak, you know, grew up with us. We call them the White Murrays, white on the outside, black on the inside, white Kuris, whatever, you know. They're true brothers and sisters. And if they want their coffin dot painted, what have you, there's a connection and there's a business opportunity for Alan McKenzie.
Oh, brother, absolutely. And if anyone out there is listening and, you know, they're looking for an artist, there is amazing artists all over Facebook, all right? All over Facebook. Get in contact with them, hit them up, ask them, you know, if they'd be interested or keen to do it in your local areas and stuff like that. Because for me personally, I'd love to see our people in all different clan groups, up in Queensland, up in over in WA. I've had people want to fly me to WA, and I know artists over in WA. And I think to myself, you know, what better way to you know, help mob out all over the country and open doors for us. Because, you know what, I've got funeral directors all over the country that are now contacting me to get all my designs and put them on the caskets. And I said no, simply because of the fact that I've got certain artworks that have certain symbols and meanings and stuff like that, and I can't do that. So for other brothers and sisters, this is definitely an opportunity to get on board, look at you know, how we can promote our culture for our mob and send our people off in a way which is fitting, which pays honour and respect to the other side of where our people go back to the dream time.
Well, exactly about that. But if you look at all funeral parlours across this planet, they design coffins, don't they? Whether it be colour, white, black, you know, a maroon or whatever, and then they've got the gold tinting or whatever. They design it. You're just going that step further in regard to artwork and Indigenous vibrant dot painting at that.
You know, the funny thing for me, brother, at the moment, like, I've had people non-stop want to do stories, you know, all different places and media outlets. Mm. I've even got people as far as England and America.
Is that right?
That want to talk about this and also, you know, talk about how we could do this for, you know, native people all across the world.
Yeah, like, beautiful.
Like,
exactly, brother. Exactly. Well, what you're saying, brother, you're doing different to what 95% of people are doing. If you're doing different to what 95% of people are doing, you are in in a different field, so to speak, in the business world, you know. So entrepreneur thinking and operating in that space. But I must say this, Brother Alan, when you first start, I mean, like you said, you're sitting in morgues painting coffins. You've got to be strong with your hands as well for that protection. I mean, because we're talking about another man's spirit or another woman's spirit there, you know. And you've got to have that with you too, don't you, brother?
Absolutely. And you know what, brother? I spend a lot of time out on country.
Yes.
I do a lot of stuff where I go out and I go fishing, go hunting and stuff like that. But for me, I mean, I visit a lot of, you know, massacre sites and places like that and make sure that, you know, the people's remains are still under the ground and stuff like that. And for me, I know the spiritual realm is a real place for our people where they go back to country and they be with our people on the other side. And for me, there's no other two ways about it. So when I was in that morgue and I was sitting there painting, I wasn't really worried because I knew that there was aunties, uncles, and even my mate's son. His spirit was there watching me paint.
Yeah, brother, beautiful.
And he was deeply connected to our culture, you know. So for me, I was sitting there listening to music, had my headphones in, painting up until about 3-4 a.m. in the morning, and then varnishing it, and you know, getting in
strong
and out.
Strong in spirit, brother. But you're spiritually connected. I'm picking up, my brother. How do people see your work? You got a web page, anything, Alan?
Yeah, brother, I've got a Facebook page on Facebook called Alan McKenzie Aboriginal Artworks.
Okay.
If you just want to get on there, guys, check it out. Shoot me through a DM or something like that. I'll be more than happy to sort yous out, help yous with anything, with any other artists in your local areas. I'm not, like I said, there's that many Aboriginal artists all over the country at the moment.
Here's an opportunity. Here's a pathway.
Beautiful opportunity. And like I say to people, you know, gone are the days that we should be selling artwork to galleries. And people that want to wholesale our artwork and pay next to nothing, because it is a $1 billion business.
And brother, we are wealthy being black. You know what I mean? We've got our culture on side, oldest living culture on planet Earth, longest living culture on planet Earth, you know, utilize it.
Oh, utilize it.
But respectfully, of course.
And respectfully, and not only that, brother, you know, like, you know, I had a dream 8 years ago, brother, and I said to myself, I do not want to ever work for another person ever again.
Yeah.
And I was working as a builder, and I got down off the ladder, and I said to myself, I will never work for another person again, and I'm gonna climb to the top with my artwork, and you know, and do things that people won't do. And this is one of those things that, you know, I can look and say that I've gladly ticked it off and done it, and you know, and I've enjoyed it thoroughly, you know, just simply and purely because of the beauty of what it brings to someone's life to be celebrated in, you know, so, yeah.
Well, good yarn with you, my brother. Thank you very much. Businessman, but strong cultural man. And, look, painting coffins, using vibrant dot painting techniques, culture front and centre. But thank you, Alan. And to the mob listening out there, check out Alan McKenzie, Aboriginal artist. Is that right? Facebook?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the one, brother.
Good, brother. Yeah. Well, you take care, my brother. Good yarn with you. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. We'll yarn soon.
Sweet as my brother. We'll talk soon.
See you, bro. Bye-bye.
See you, bro.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Alan McKenzie. He paints coffin using vibrant dot painting techniques, Indigenous artist. And you can check his work out on Facebook page, Alan McKenzie, Aboriginal artist, and see the work that's doing. I mean, we have to leave planet Earth sooner or later, what have you, and why not leave with culture embedded in your coffin? Why not? Have you saying yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Finds its way back home. I heard your story, brought me to tears. Wash away the I'm not good enough and all of your fears in your eyes. Can't get enough.
I got love.
All the pessimism living deep down in your gut has got me thinking. A girl like you, such a sacrifice to live a life. Shine the way you do in your eyes. Can't get enough.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. And that's BBM, Bumma Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saber calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Now, empowering our mob in more ways than one in all industries, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Charles Darwin University Maritime Training Coordinator and lecturer, that's Paul Williams, and talk about Marine Rangers take hands-on training in fishery compliance. So talking about running the Certificate 3 in fisheries compliance. On the line, Paul, good morning. How are you?
Morning, sir. Well, mate. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much. So you're based up there in Darwin?
Yeah, based in sunny Darwin.
All right, beautiful sunny Darwin. I'm sunny Cairns, so look, fantastic. Look, a great opportunity for our mob to pick up a Certificate 3 in fisheries compliance. So tell us about this program, this course, and how long it's been running for, and is this the first time Charles Darwin University Maritime Training have done this?
Thanks, Trev. Yeah, this is a fantastic opportunity for people and country. This course, it's the first time that CDU have run this course. It has been running in the past for a few years, but there's been a bit of a hiatus for the last 3 years or so.
Yep.
We've got about 10 students from various ranger groups around the Northern Territory, from Samara, Bolgol, Northeast Arnhem Land, Uralka, and a few other ranger groups.
Fantastic. So we're talking Certificate 3 in fishery compliance. So what does it entail? What do they need to do? And then what does the certificate do for the individual in career pathways or in regard to their job as rangers, please?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so all of the students are marine rangers from around the territory, and the Cert 3 is a step up from the Cert 2 fisheries compliance support.
Okay.
So all of these students have done the fisheries compliance support in the past. Mm. In the Cert 2, and then they've stepped up into the Cert 3. The Cert 3 gives them the ability to be considered for inspector status.
Yes.
By NT Fisheries and that. And they've got to do various things in that to be able to get to that level. And not all people that do the Cert 3 are appointed as inspectors later on down the track.
But, yes.
They definitely need that qualification to be able to attain the inspector status.
Yeah, so Certificate 3 in fishery compliance, they received that certificate as such, but also they'd be bringing to the table, as in First Nation rangers, their shared knowledge as well in regarding their management process.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We've got several ranger groups involved, and what we're finding is they're all bouncing off each other with ideas and how they do things differently in different country.
Exactly.
And they're sort of using those that networking tool, I suppose, to improve their own processes in their own areas.
Yeah, as well exactly.
And that's on top of the formal training that we provide. And the formal training gets quite involved. You know, if it involves communication in the workplace, monitoring fish catches for legal compliance, gather, collate and record information, taking statements, being able to probably gather evidence, I suppose.
Yes.
So
they run with a bit of authority and also protecting the waterways and the water areas, you know, the zoning areas. They've been working closely with NT Fisheries as well as Water Police, you could say.
Working very closely with NT Fisheries, working in partnership with NT Fisheries and very closely with Water Police.
Yeah.
Quite often it's they're the eyes and ears, because obviously the territory coastline is quite remote.
Exactly.
And they're the eyes and ears of what happens in those remote areas. And if they see something that's not quite right or not as it should be, they'll report that in their reports back to NT Police and NT Fisheries for the authorities to have a look at and perhaps take a more of an investigative role from there.
I'm thinking that it's great for the individual as well, or talk to the tribal group, First Nation people, because they're virtually operating on their sea country and land country, you know what I mean? And now they've got the authority to protect and working alongside Northern Territory Fisheries and Water Police. So it must be a good feeling for the rangers.
Oh, look, all the rangers are saying how good it is for them to be able to have this knowledge and then be able to go out and then put it into practice.
Yes.
And be able to protect country and look after country.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful opportunity.
Paul, how long does the course go for?
It goes for over 12 months, and
okay.
It consists of 4 one-week blocks that we have face-to-face with a lot of the administrative stuff that we do.
Yep.
And the bits and pieces there and the networking and all that, and then we go back on country.
Good.
In between, and then we do some training on country and do some monitoring and assessing and all that sort of stuff on country as well.
So how many rangers you got signed on at the moment?
Yeah, we've got 10 going through this group for the first one. We just wanted to make sure everything was pretty good and pretty tight to this one as we go through, but
yes.
We're sort of expecting that to increase a little bit more. NT Fisheries are the ones that are the main client with that. They go out and interact with the ranger groups and that, and then they'll assess the potential students from there, and then we'll put them together for another course next year.
Are we talking male and females?
Yes, male and female. Where there was supposed to be one or two females on this course, but they had to pull out for different reasons on this one. But, it usually is a mix of male and female.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yep. Well, look, congratulations. I think it's a fantastic platform, empowering our First Nation rangers, and also they're at the table and working closely with NT Fisheries and Water Police. And, look, it's a great pathway into their future, working on country and It's great to see you, Paul. Thank you very much for the yarn, my friend.
No worries, Trevor. Thank you. Much, much appreciated and glad to talk to you.
All the best. You take care. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
A deadly yarn. Paul Williams, his name is, Charles Darwin University of Maritime Training and Coordinator and Lecturer, and that's working with the First Nation Rangers from across the top end and learning valuable and practical skills as they are training to become certified in fishery compliance. So it's a Certificate 3 in fisheries compliance, and it helps First Nation people with their authority working on their sea country and their land country. Great to see, and empowering our mob with that authority. Too deadly. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416.
I'd like to thank Uncle Archie and my sisters, Titters, Dan Sultan, Kev Comedy, paving the way for me and many. The stand up tall, young black and deadly, I'm proud and ready. I'm the black prince to many, like Michael Long kicking goals on that telly. Yup, change that day, I'll change your mind, boy. Perspective, your way of life, you may deny. I promise if we get this right, we'll be living in our day where our days are fine. But it makes me sad that we can't understand all this pain from stealing the land. And I'm a proud Aboriginal man, that's why I got that flag tattooed on my hand. Cause we're the oldest in civilization, yet we're the coldest in a hypocritical nation. So I'm waiting for the day that you're proud. All my people not mistaking us as patience on a race it and never answer minimal information.
A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan. A black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. My man, my man, na 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 na.
I was floating down this river and looked out the side, and I saw all this land get took. And yeah, I'm sick of all these white fellas thinking that they know better when they knew never. Yeah, and man, I stand up for what I believe. That's the answer, question time. Freedom of speech with a plan, but that's why I stand pants down with my hands up, bruh. I get asked about 3 times a week if I'm Aboriginal, but see, don't matter what the colour of your skin, where you've been, brother. Written in my blood, black history, brother. And I can feel it, man, the energy, the synergy. You mimic me deep down, the truth is you're sick of me. Napalina, Kuparuna, Niara, I'm from a Tulumpunga, Larapuna, yeah, Luchawitza. Love for Larrakia and NT, Noongars West, Curries, Murrays. All that love for all the Ghana mob in SA. They understand what I say, cause I feel like
they're taking all our family as we're walking out the door, and they're leaving all of their loving, and she's telling him to let go. You can see it in the writing as we read it on your wall. She's a devil in disguise, and I'm a pawn to a lost pawn to a love. Cause a black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, a black swan, black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. My man, my man, na 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 na. Black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, a black swan, black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan, black swan, black swan, a black swan, stand up tall when you're singing, cause you're singing for me, my man. Black swan.
Yeah, Black Swan, that's Marlon and Rula, and that's featuring Malcolm Pyre here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416. And National Talk Black, we come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, in your Dingy country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. That daily number again, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother, 045-714-0550. And our Facebook page, well, BBM 987 FM. Yarn with the bully on, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, all ears here for your deadly yarn. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with deadly brother here, Peter Frankelton. Living with disability, the fact that disability sector
is calling for urgent changes to make funding equitable. St. Deirdre and industry leaders in the disability sector are campaigning for an end to unfair National Disability Insurance, NDIS, eligibility criteria, which includes people over 65, with around one in two Australians over 65 years old living with disability. Change is long overdue to ensure no one is left stranded without adequate support. And Australians over the age of 65 impacted by the unfair NDIS eligibility criteria are being urged to participate in a class action lawsuit against the Commonwealth Government. On the line, we do have Alan McKenzie. Peter Frankelton, and he's living with a disability on the line. Peter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I love to hear from Cairns, one of my favourite spots in the world.
Thank you. Yep, they reckon a local call to heaven from here, my friend. Where are you based, Peter?
Down in Melbourne, pretty chilly.
And so, were you a Swan supporter or Collingwood?
Cats,
there you go. Yep, beautiful. Look, thank you for the yarn, very important yarn. We're talking about disability sector calls for urgent changes to make funding equitable. So neglecting National Disability Insurance, they're neglecting people with disability, my brother, is what I'm picking up.
Yes, indeed, and it's really arbitrary because it all depends on your birthday. It's what I call a calendar crime.
Okay. So
you're punished for having the wrong birthday. And unlike other crimes, there are no pardons and there's no, there's no appeal.
Well, if you're disabled, you're disabled, no matter what colour skin, no matter when you're born.
Yep, and I was disabled at the age of six.
Yeah.
Some of my friends were 3 years old, one was an 18-month-year-old. You know, it's nothing to do with, turning 65.
Yeah. So there's a loophole there, which is devastating for people with disability because of their birth date.
Yep, and look, it's totally wrong. And we say it's morally wrong, but also we claim unlawful because it's in breach of the UN Disability Convention, which prohibits discrimination against people with disabilities on all grounds. So it doesn't matter what your race, sex, age, or whatever it is. You know, it's wrong to discriminate against people with disabilities on a relevant basis.
So disability sector participating in a class action lawsuit against the Commonwealth Government. Is that what's happening?
That's what's being proposed.
Yes.
We're gathering numbers at this stage, but we've pretty well got our ducks in a row, and that's, it looks pretty good.
And so how can people support you, with disability or without disability? Anybody out there who want to support you, how can they support you?
Well, there are a number of ways. Of course, if people are directly affected themselves,
yes,
they have a disability and they're outlawed for having the wrong birthday. I can Google class action NDIS, and that's run by Mitry Lawyers, MITRY. But if you Google class action, NDIS, I think it'll get you there.
Sure.
There's an information page, and then there's a link you can click on to get what they call an expression of interest.
Mm.
It's a form that you download, fill in. It takes a few particulars, like what your situation is. And that's a way of putting your hand up saying, I could be interested, and sending it in so that we get the numbers. And then people make their decision from there, whether they want to be part of the action. The other source of information is Disability Doesn't Discriminate. That's DDD.
Yep.
Disability Doesn't Discriminate, and that's got information on it too.
Triple D,
they've been campaigning vigorously for quite a while. And if you know of anybody who's in that predicament, I suggest maybe you
reach
tell
out
about it and help them get onto it.
Yeah, beautiful. Peter, can you paint the picture regarding the age? When you're talking about a birthday crime, so to speak, to when people are born, paint the picture regarding what is the age then that we're talking.
Well, just to give you an idea, see, I'm in Victoria, and I think it was the same in every state.
Yep.
The NDIS rolled out in 2016. So counting back, you had to be age 64 in 2016. So that meant you had to be born 1952 or after.
Or after.
So I think
the people who were born in 1962 miss out is what you're saying.
No, 52, you're okay.
Yep.
51, you're not. I think okay. The jingle they were using was Born 52, Tickety Boo, Born Before, Out the Door.
Wow.
It's as clean cut as that.
Oh, wow. That's some heavy words for a rhyme, so to speak, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's. I don't know what they're thinking of.
Yeah, exactly. Someone else's demise. Let's make a ding dong song about it.
Yeah. You can set it to music, but that just shows how arbitrary it is, and of course it's very cruel. I'm representing other people, and particularly hard on ladies living alone who've had disabilities all their life. That some of them live daily fear that they're going to be sent into a nursing home because they're doing okay, they're sharp as a tack, they're socially engaged, all they need is a bit of help, which NDIS can give and is designed for, and they can stay at home and live their lives. And these are the sort of people I'm thinking of.
And, you know, when we look at the amount of money that's wasted in all different industries, this is an investment for happiness for all Australians, especially with disability.
And you know what, Trevor? The government never talks about the cost. They never mention a figure.
Yeah.
And I calculate, you just put join a few dots.
Yep.
I reckon the cost would be a bit under $1 billion. But also, they say if they cleaned up the rorts, people doing charging for things they didn't do, that's worth about $1 billion.
Yeah.
So you could do two good things. You could make it equitable and fair.
Mm.
You could get rid of the rorts, and it costs zero net.
Yeah.
In my estimation.
Yeah. So anyway, so thank you for the yarn and for people out there who love to support this class action. They can become signatories, but for people in a situation that's affected by the this disability insurance, national disability insurance, should come to the table and support for themselves as well.
Yep. Just Google NDIS class action, and thanks, Trevor, for taking interest. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
We all do.
We all do, yes. We're all Australians, are we not? You there, Peter?
We are indeed.
Yeah.
Yep, and this is very un-Australian.
Yep. Thank you, my friend. Look, all the best. Keep smiling and come and join us up here in Cairns when you can, my friend.
I'm looking forward to it. I come as well as I can.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Peter Freckleton. He's living with disability, and disability sector calls for urgent changes to make funding equitable. Industry leaders in the disability sector are campaigning for an end to unfair national disability insurance, NDIS, eligibility criteria, which includes people over 65. All people over 65 impacted by the unfair NDIS eligibility criteria are being urged to participate in a class action lawsuit against the Commonwealth Government. So you can check it out online, the Triple D, they're calling it, Disability Doesn't Discriminate campaign. So check that out and support if you know of loved ones in that position. If not, you want to support this lawsuit, then you can operate as well. You don't have to be disabled to do that. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. About 11 minutes left on the program. 1-800-422-416. Very good morning, Yarrabah. Hope you're well. Here's Barry Cedric. Yarrabah Rangers. Do enjoy.
Tropical scenery.
Yeah, beautiful track there, Barry Cedric. Good morning, Yarraba. Hope you're well. Barry Cedric, you deadly, my brother. Been a long time since we caught up, so your shout, coffee, brother. Let's do it. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with Yarn with Sister Sylvia, WA. Good morning, sister. How are you?
Kaya, Quab, Kedula, brother Trevor. making sure I keep healthy.
Yeah, beautiful. Yes.
Breathing good, clean oxygen here in the forest, the trees, as I pull out their weeds.
Yes.
I do campfires, traditional way to keep the ground cleaned up.
Yeah.
To help stop the forest fires.
Yes, looking after Mother Earth, that's what it's all about, and we got to do our bit as human beings, don't we?
We do, but our culture is all about that.
Yeah, true. So true. What's happening? What do you want to yarn about, my sister?
You know, currently there are many cruel people running the world.
Mm.
To the citizens, they're being cruel to the citizens. If you hear the world news, there's lots of protests going on and there's war
and everything,
and
yes. Pandemics.
Yes, and it all causes climate change. It's all killing the planet and it's all killing animals and causing extinction. Everything connected to that system of violence, it hurts everything, not just people and damages buildings. It hurts absolutely everything there is, the air.
Well, Mother Earth is crying out, and people's spirits are crying out, and that keeps the world turning, does it not, you know? And if the spirit's down, it's a slow turn for planet Earth.
Absolutely. You can feel the spirits hurting and quiet. I can feel it. And when I'm working in the forest doing the campfires, they help me find things. They show me flowers.
Yeah.
You know,
and the stop and smell the roses, what you're talking about is take on board what's around you and what living things are around you outside human beings.
Yeah, and these are little wild orchids because they need the smoke of the campfires.
Mm.
Now, what I actually phoned for is, do you remember way back when Kevin Rudd and Julia Gillard eventually signed the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples?
Yes.
And I was talking to your young producer there, who hasn't had a chance to read it. It is an absolutely beautiful document, which is all about being sustainable, completely egalitarian, get rid of all the ageism, the sexism, the racism, and any other ism they like to construct to marginalise people with and control people with.
True.
It's such a clever document, so wonderfully worded. It's got solutions for the wrongs of the past. It's got solutions for us all together in the future. And whenever I'm at rallies and talking about it, I say we can all live under it.
Yes.
Every single person in this country can live under it.
Yeah, so
that
true.
That way we address some of the wrongs of the past, because we can never undo those wrongs, but we can move forward together under the real, caring, wise law of this land.
Yeah. It should be one rule for the whole planet, and that includes every living thing and Mother Nature itself, you know?
Absolutely, Trevor. Absolutely. Everything, the flooding, the people. I'm so glad to hear on the news that the government's been charged and they won in the court. The TI, I think it was TI people up north.
Yes.
Been flooded, you know, they've got to start looking after them for coping with climate change now, rather than just leave people flooded out of their homes.
Yes.
But there's no need for so much materialism. There's no need for all this manufacturing, and it's all ending up in junk. They're dumping it in Africa.
All money-making machines.
Yeah, why don't they recycle everything and repair everything? That's
true.
Good local economy.
Yep, exactly.
There's so many solutions, and there's so many clever people, you know, that know it. So
but greed is at the table, you'll agree. Greed at the table and chasing the dollar. That's more important than the so-called business world and government.
That way they can make people subservient to their cruel system and without thinking about what they're doing. people become addicted to this artificial lifestyle and they call it normal.
Mm.
You know, they call jetting around the world on holidays, they call it normal life now.
Exactly.
It's only been around, what, 50 years at the most?
Yeah, true. So true.
You know, it's how they indoctrinate people, and people complain when they can't have all this partying lifestyle. But partying doesn't make anybody happy.
Mm.
We're all much happier when the environment is happy, the animals are happy. You know that. The spirits are happy. You know
exactly.
that, Trevor.
Exactly.
And it's how we relate with each other, how we work with each other, not what we actually do.
Like I said, I've always said it, life is simple. People complicate it.
Well, I call it culture. I call it colonialism because colonials have caused so much
killing our culture.
Yeah, I call it culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And colonial culture because colonials need subservient people for their privileged groups. You know, the aristocratic and privileged sections of society where they exploit. Colonial cultures, the feudal model, has been cruelly exploiting people for hundreds and thousands of years.
My dear, thank you very much for the yarn. That's Sylvia calling from WA. Strong belief in Mother Nature and people in society. So fantastic, good yarn. Always good to catch up with you, Sylvia. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, Trinity Trevier, Murray Film and Curry. About to sign off, back in the hot seat again tomorrow. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. News coming up here very soon. NERS.